Joining us now is former Browns linebacker, former NFL linebacker Carl Banks. Spent the 94-95 seasons with the Cleveland Browns, and happy to have you with us on the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Vic. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to have a chance to visit with an alumni, and we like to get caught up with guys who had been part of this team and what they're up to, and I know you've been up to a whole lot since your playing days, but let's start with the playing days and what you remember of those Browns team coached by Bill Belichick back in the mid-90s.
Well, it was, I thought it was kind of a defining moment. And primarily you look at some of the players that were here in the history, and this is a very long history with the Cleveland Browns, but it was kind of that crossroads a couple of years. I came on the last 2 years of the Bill Belichick tenure, and it was one of those deals where he had to kind of define what it was going to be, and he knew it. So walked in knowing exactly what my job would be. But when you analyze the division at that time, it was still the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it was a division that, much like it is now, that you can make some headway in it and really plant your flag as a contender within the division and someone who's capable of knocking off the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Much was said about that being the time where Bill Belichick really learned the craft kind of the hard way. Obviously, he took some lumps as a head coach and took that education with him to go on to have great success in New England. Did you honestly see in Bill, and I know you had the connection with him beyond Cleveland, did you see in him a guy that after this experience with the Browns would in fact go on to be the Belichick who won those Super Bowls and had all that success?
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that had the team not moved, look, I'm not that critical of the people in the media, but it was not a supportive environment. Let's just say it for what it is. He got rid of a lot of favorite players on the team, and, the beloved Bernie Kosar, and I don't think he ever recovered from that. So I don't think he ever got the credit that he was due in terms of what he was establishing here. So I don't even know if it was kind of a learning ground for him here in Cleveland. I think he put the same amount of preparation in Cleveland as he did in New England. But the thing is, he didn't get a lot of credit, but when you look at the type of players that Ozzie Newsome brought in here, the defense that we put together, the offensive tools that we put together, it was, in the run that we had for those 2 years, I don't know. I think there was still some records set on defense. But we had a really good crew, and I think the groundwork was laid for success. So you take your hat off to Ozzie in continuing to build in Baltimore, but I think it set Cleveland back because it just kind of disconnected everything with the move, and they had to wait, and then they had to restart. And, with every organization, if you don't have the right quarterback, it's a four-year proposition each and every time you change one. So you go 10, 11 years just trying to find a quarterback that works for your team. And I think they're in a good spot, though, at this stage of the division and at this stage of the franchise.
Your history with Belichick, of course, going back to the days you were with the Giants from 1984 to 1992. You spent one season with the Redskins thereafter before arriving at the Browns, and you'd spend your final 2 years as an NFL player, 94-95, here in Cleveland. But when you arrived here, tell the story of it was kind of a modest situation for you to come aboard. Give me the idea of what it was like when you joined the Browns.
Well, I had just come out of a very bad situation in Washington. But Bill and I, we talked. I consider him a really good friend. Pepper Johnson and I talked a lot during his time here. He was here before me. Mm-hmm. And he would say, man, if you could come, you would really help us out. We're a couple players short, and I can tell you right now, Bill would love to have you. And so when I got released from Washington, I don't know if I called him or he called me or we had a conversation. And he says, you know, come down, let's talk. So I meet him and Mike Lombardi at the top of the stairs, right? Mike's office was up there then. And so basically Mike said, look, we don't have a lot of money to pay you. Here's what it's going to be. And, you know, we'd love to have you. We think you can help us out a lot. And Belichick, in true Belichick fashion, says, look, you know, you're going to be counted on to do a lot of things, and special teams are going to be one of them. So I'm like, let me see. I've been everywhere on special teams. Every time I've played with him, he's had me on special teams. And I was a pretty decent special teams player. But I'm like, at this stage of my career, when he says special teams, I'm sure he's thinking like field goal block. The first day of mini camp, I'm running down right in the middle of the kickoff team, right on, you know, kickoff return, kickoff, punt return. And as it would have it, I wasn't even a guy that got the luxury of being on the field goal team. So it was interesting. But I ended up playing every single special team my 2 years here. And the better the kickoff coverage team was that we were facing, it would be Pepper Johnson and I. We would have. It wasn't spot duty. It was like, you guys are now on kickoff return. We need to block this guy. So,
former Browns linebacker Carl Banks is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's talk about life for you after football. You've done a lot of interesting things, including since 2007, you've been an analyst on the New York Giants radio network. You work alongside Bob Papa, a great friend of mine, and you also do work for SiriusXM NFL Radio. The media component's one thing, but what else have you gotten yourself into off field?
Well, I think life after football started 2 years into my career. I knew I wanted to be on the broadcast side of the business. You know, it's what I got my degree in, and I actually started that piece of it doing a post-game show while I was still playing. I would shower and go up to the booth and kind of do a 30-minute spot. And then I got into the fashion business. I'm NFL. I'm a licensee in all major sports, but I got into the outerwear business, team sports outerwear. And that, you know, I started that in 1989. And right now, I'm happy to say I'm the number one outerwear manufacturer in all of sports, and probably the number three or number four licensee overall. I mean, some big names out there like Nike and Under Armour, right. But when you look at what we've achieved, it's been really good because it's started off as big and tall outerwear to men's apparel, and now men's and ladies apparel. And we also do Alyssa Milano's line, her touch by Alyssa Milano, NFL and Major League Baseball lines, things like that.
That's phenomenal stuff. And what how did you come into the idea that fashion was going to be something you wanted to pursue to that extent, just like you do with media?
Well, it's actually kind of a full circle process. I, in 87, starter with just signing players, and I was one of their first athlete endorsers. And I got a chance to spend a lot of time with David Beckerman over the years. And I was like, man, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like him, because he was literally Nike before there was Nike. And so I found a niche business. I thought that outerwear was an area that was underserved, and I built that. And, I had a great, great run with Starter as one of their athletes. And opportunity presented itself with the league. I found an opportunity to build an outerwear program, and it was off to the races. And, you know, again, the whole 360 process. Now I own the license for Starter, so we're relaunching that for this fall as well.
Fantastic, and congrats on that. You're quite familiar, of course, with Michael Lombardi and others involved with this Browns regime now, and you pay close attention, I know, to the entire league, not just the Giants, but as you see what's being done here, the hiring of Rob Chudzinski as head coach, Ray Horton as defensive coordinator, North Turner as offensive coordinator, what's being built here, your impressions, and especially, I guess, from the defensive standpoint, Carl, of a team now transitioning to the 3-4 and to this Horton/Dick LeBeau version of the 3-4?
Well, I think it's going to be really good. And like I said earlier, it's a great time within the division to really start to make your move. And they've got some pieces in place. You've got, you know, a running back who's second to none. He'll be the best running back in that division this year. You've got some pieces on defense. You've got a good return game, and they're going to rush the passer out of a 3-4 defense. So I think that they'll be able to really make some leeway, especially when you look at what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing now. They're uncharacteristically doing some things with their personnel. Baltimore is probably still the class of the division, but with some of the transition they have on defense, they'll be a different team because it's run by the offense now. It'll be Joe Flacco's team exclusively. He is that senior voice now, and that, I don't know if it makes him more vulnerable, but certainly if you're Joe Flacco, you're saying, boy, I got a lot more responsibility. I mean, I don't have a defense that's going to bail me out.
Right.
Because when you have an Ed Reed out there, you know that you're never out of a game if he's on the field. And so I think the Browns and where they are now, and you look at some of the moves that Cincinnati's making, you can see that they see the same vulnerabilities within the division. So if the Browns can hit the ground running, they've got a good cover corner in Joe Hayden, and if they can really generate some pressure on the front end of the defense, the back end of the defense can be really good, can be exciting.
And when you look at the quarterback, and I know you got a good look at Brandon Weeden, the entire Browns team, when the Browns faced the Giants last year and you did all your prep work and studied them. Granted, now it's a different system and scheme with Chud here instead of Pat Shurmur, but what do you think the future is like with him? Because obviously everything hinges on the quarterback.
Well, listen, the reality is this. He's not going to be asked to win a lot of games for them. I think he's capable when called upon to win a game. But I think when you have a back like Richardson, it takes a heavy load off your quarterback. If you know you can run the ball, even if teams stack the box and you've got a running back who can catch it, who can run, who can block, smart as can be, and then you put a tight end in the mix, your quarterback's life is pretty easy. All he has to do is just execute the offense, or, you know, I have a phrase I say, if it ain't broke, don't break it. You know, just go out and just execute the offense. And then, you know, if the balance, and I know Norv Turner, he'll create balance in that offense so that the quarterback will not have the burden of all the responsibility of making plays. He's a great play caller. I've played against him for many years, so I know. He's the king of scheming and making sure his players are in balance. His offense, you know, works to the strengths of all, not to one.
Carl, wonderful. We really appreciate you taking the time and getting us caught up, and love all the stuff you're doing, and we will catch up again down the line.
Thanks, Vic.
He is Carl Banks, former Browns linebacker, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.